Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. Today we have a young stud, my brother, James Bracken. This guy is wise beyond his years and inspires me to raise my standards and perform at a higher level. He hosts a top 1% podcast called the You Can Too podcast, which features world-class thought leaders to show you how to win at life, both internally and externally. I love how James articulates big ideas down into simple steps so anyone can start applying new actions to transform their life. The future is bright, and I'm so excited to introduce you guys to this rising young star. Thanks for joining us today, James.
Man, I appreciate you having me, brother. We've been connected for a few months now, and it's great to be connected with great people like you, man. I appreciate the introduction, and I'm excited to provide some value to your audience today, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I know you're going to do that. And, you know, it's actually funny how we met and a situation that, you know, didn't really work out for either of us at the time. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it feels like the real reason was for us to meet and just form this bond. So, you know, I'm extremely grateful to just call you a friend now and, you know, grow together as we're similar ages.
Yeah, man. Right with you on that. Right with you on that.
Funny how life works.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, let's start with your backstory, man. And, you know, I'm actually curious for you being so young, like, give us just an overview of like where you're coming from. And also, like, is personal development something that you always gravitated towards, or did something happen that really pulled you in that direction?
Yeah, that's a great way to, a great place to start. I think for many of us, when we go through life, we go through the school system and we don't know personal development is a thing. At least I didn't know that was a thing. And so throughout my entire life, I seen myself as a person that I hated reading. I actually took pride in not reading a book throughout my entire life until I got out of high school. And I wish you could see all the books that, like, you can see some right here, but I have an entire bookshelf of books over the past couple of years. It's absurd how much I've read in just a few years and just taken in. So I would say that when I found out that personal development was a thing, it's consumed my life. I want to improve in every way I can, but I don't want it to be something I find a lot of people, especially clients, deal with, is that they almost see themselves as a personal development project. And I think that if you're always trying to fix something, well, then you're never getting really down to the core of where that's coming from. And then usually it's a feelings of insufficiency, which drive a lot of people. So I think for me, man, it was growing up feeling anxious and nervous about the future, not knowing what I wanted to do. I knew college never made sense for me. I always thought, when I think of college, I associated it with a per dollar amount per hour. And I always thought, well, no matter what I do, there's nothing I can do that will increase the amount of money that I make per hour. And that just never made sense into my mind. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get wealthy being able to do that, nor am I going to be able to have an impact on other people. And so I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That immediately, like, that was the first book I ever read, and it put me down a path of, well, that's not the thing that I'm going to do. And so I started listening to podcasts, starting reading books. Really, really soon, I hired my first coach, and I didn't know really what I was doing. It was kind of like I jumped on a sales call, invested more money than I had, and led me down the path of becoming a coach myself and starting the podcast and everything else. But that's a really short way of explaining how I got to where I'm at, but it's the best I got for you.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And, you know, with you, like, I just see this relentless drive to keep on improving. And you said, like, not like a project, but of fixing, but rather I see it as like just constantly improving. It's not like fixing these flaws, but just getting better and better every day, like that 1%. So, you know, for me, like, where does that drive come for you? Because there's this world right now where it's constant distractions. And especially for us, like growing up younger, again, remind us how old you are again.
20.
20. Yeah. So like growing up in the world of technology and like just video games, the internet, you know, scrolling on social media, how do you stay consistent and disciplined to your mission and not get so sidetracked?
I feel like it's innately with it. And I think you can probably resonate on this. If you're in something that you really feel in alignment with, like I say this for when I started the podcast, when I started my coaching business, when I really got into this space in its entirety, I felt like I was called to do it. Like I wasn't pushed towards doing it, if that makes sense. Like I remember growing up, my mom, my sister, I used to tell them I wanted to be a motivational speaker. To this day, it's not really like the exact perspective, but I'm in that space, right? And I had no idea that I was going to be down this space. So to even think about when I was a kid, like literally, you know, preschool, like I was thinking about being in this space. So there was always an innate drive to be in the space that I'm in now and just helping people. And I think when I got into the space of consciousness and diving into like how we hold ourselves back, it just made me think so many people are going through life unaware of how they're getting in their own way. And so like, I feel like I'm called to be here to help people up level in their life by really bringing the awareness that they need to be able to make the change that they want to make and ultimately create a life that they didn't think was possible. Cause like you said, yeah, I'm 20. I turned 20 last month. And I feel like, and we spoke about this before hopping on the podcast, I'm 200 episodes into the show. And I feel like I'm just getting started. Like I feel like I started yesterday and I'm just even more invigorated to do more. Like now I'm doing 2 interviews a week and there's going to be a time in the future where I do 3 interviews a week. And it's just, I feel so alive when I do this kind of stuff. I get energy from it instead of getting, you know, drained from it. And so I don't know what else I'd be doing if it wasn't this, truthfully.
Yeah, that's the thing. Finding something that like fills you up and doesn't drain you. Like once you find that, it's like, keep going in that direction. Like you're going to just continue to do something and, you know, create things that are bigger than you could initially imagine. And you said something that really stuck out to me is helping people find that awareness or just getting that awareness for yourself. And, you know, I always talk about that's the first step to changing or transforming anything in life. So I'd love to hear like how you get that awareness or how you even, you know, help your clients find that awareness to take that next step in a new direction.
Asking questions, man. I realized this when I started to become a coach. So I joined a coaching program to become a coach at 17 years old. No, that sounds crazy. But I jumped into it not knowing really what I was doing, but I knew I wanted to help people. And I knew I had a perspective that a lot of people didn't have. You know, I lost a lot of family growing up. I lost my father and uncle both at 37 years old. And my grandfather passed a few months before his retirement. And so I was just at a young age ingrained in me that our time is really precious. And we have to be urgent about the way that we go about life or we're going to waste a lot of the time that we're given. It goes back to what I said a minute ago. Like I felt called to do this and I get energy from it. So I need to lean into it as much as I can while I can. And so for me, man, I think it really comes down to asking questions to the people that, you know, they won't ask themselves those questions. So for example, like a lot of people, they'll ask themselves why, but they don't ask themselves why 5 times deeper. Like they don't get deep to the real core of what's getting in the way or how they're standing in their own way and really in the grand scheme of things. I want to say, I don't know if you're still with me, but you're frozen right now. So I wanted to pause.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit. Yeah. Okay. It's a little bit glitchy, but I think I just heard you.
Okay. Yeah. I just switched connections here. We like just got like a new internet service, last week. So
is that good, brother? Yeah. One thing I'd recommend, and I don't know if you've already done this or not, but when I first started my podcast, I couldn't have people on the show because this shit would happen, but it would be the entire fucking podcast where I couldn't even understand what they're saying. I got Ethernet connected in my room. It was like $50 to get it moved, like the Wi-Fi and router from my living room into my room. It was like $50 to get it put in here. But now I'm connected to Ethernet and I've never had a problem since.
Okay. Yeah. I'm probably going to have to do that. So
yeah.
Appreciate it. Well, dude,
I mean, the fact that you're doing it to begin with without Ethernet, like, dude, I waited 106 episodes. So the fact that you're doing it to begin with, I give you props because I couldn't stand it. But start with the question that you asked me and then I'll go from there so it makes sense.
Yeah. Let me just like get everything set up. So I was asking, this was actually just like an on the spot question about that awareness and creating that change and how you, for yourself and for your clients even, we'll just pick back off there.
Cool. Yeah. I think for me, man, it's really asking the deep questions. That's what I've learned from stepping into coaching when I was 17. And what I learned from my coaches throughout that time was a lot of us want cute growth, if that makes sense. We want growth where it's easy, it's simple. We want to have the simple answer that's straight in front of us. But a lot of us, we face the problems at a surface level, and we face a symptom to a problem is the best way I can say it. And then the way that I explain this is with procrastination. A lot of us think that we procrastinate because we're lazy, or we don't feel like it, or I'm just a procrastinator. That's just who I am. The reality of it is you're not procrastinating because you're lazy or because you don't feel like it. You're procrastinating because there's a fear that's there. And that's what I mean in everything in life. So we want to face the symptom, not the actual problem. And so with coaching, we can really dive a lot deeper into things and dive into the actual root cause for why you're getting in your own way, or how that's happened and how that's manifested in your life. But if we're not aware of where that's coming from to begin with, what that fear is, well, then we're always going to face that same exact problem. It's going to be a cyclical experience throughout the rest of your life. And that's why I think it's so important to really get that awareness through someone, an external perspective, because you can only go deep, so deep through yourself. But when you actually have someone else outside of you challenging you, the things that you can do and the awareness that you can get is truly amazing.
Yeah, and that's the thing, getting that like bird's eye perspective that you kind of just said, that third person point of view, because when you're like in the storm yourself, you're the one in it. It's so hard to just see like what you can't see. You don't know what you don't know. And you need that person, that accountability partner to, hey man, you gotta change something. You gotta do something different. Or just like, have you thought about this? Or just like get that in your mind, because, I think the best teachers aren't the ones that tell you what to do, but they're more of this catalyst that shows you and just ask you different questions so you can start thinking for yourself and getting that own awareness. And that's what it is. It's like, okay, we know these problems, and typically we know what to do at the end of the day. Like we all have this, vision or at least idea of like something that we want, something that would feel good if we got it. And we know that it's going to be a little hard to get there. And that resistance is what really holds us back from achieving our dreams. And they even see, like they say, the graveyards are like the most expensive places, because that's where all the dreams go to die, and no one took action on them. So how do you push past that resistance to start taking a shot and not live a life of regret, but just embrace that messy middle somewhere and just take action?
I think of it in the lens of what is the cost of inaction? And when you asked before, it was like it's asking the questions, right? It's asking the questions that we don't really want the answer to. So for many of us, we think of what's the cost of action? What's the cost if I go after this thing, if I leave my job, I try to start a business, I try to really create a life that I'm deserving of, but maybe I don't believe I'm deserving of, maybe I don't think I'm capable of creating. And we think about what that would look like if we went towards it and we failed. So we automatically have an idea that I'm going to fail at this thing because it's new. I've never done it before. It's terrifying. All of the fears come up. And so we either have a fear of success, we have a fear of rejection, we have a fear of failure. So what happens if I fail? Well, I'm going to look like a failure. I'm going to identify as the failure, because it's just like any sport. When you are any creative act, when you do something and you attach your self-worth to it, well, then you're likely not going to continue doing it because you're going to feel like a failure. So that's one side of it. Well, what happens if I actually do succeed? Well, then the people that are surrounding me right now aren't going to see me the same, and they're not going to treat me the same. And then I'm not going to see myself as the same. And I'm going to feel like there's so much responsibility here. That's why a lot of people don't go into entrepreneurship to begin with, because you're fully responsible. I always like to say that no matter what happens, it cannot be your fault, but it's still your responsibility. And then there's the fear of rejection, man. Like, what happens if I go towards this thing, I fail, I have to go back to my job, and all the people looking at me are going to look at me like I'm a failure, I'm a fool, because I try to do something that most people don't try to do. And so there's a lot of fears that come up that stop us from going towards those things. And we always think of what's the cost of action. What I want people to think about is what's the cost of inaction? Like, what happens if you don't go and you don't do it at all? Like, when you get to the end of your life, you're going to be a lot more satisfied with the things that you did do when you tried, and even if you failed at them, than the things that you didn't do because you never gave it a try, right? And so I think through that lens, because I've seen so many people pass so young, it's like, we all think about what other people are thinking of us, but at the end of the day, end of your life, matter. It genuinely doesn't matter. No matter how much like we know that, we have to internalize it and we have to take the action to reinforce that belief.
Yeah. And truly, at the end of the day, like everyone is thinking about themselves. Like we're thinking about ourselves, they're thinking about themselves. And if you made like this big mistake, say yesterday, no one's thinking about that mistake like you're thinking about that mistake. And that's something that took me a long time to really figure out and realize, is that everyone just is focusing on themselves. They got their own problems, their own life. Like you think how chaotic our lives are. Everyone else has a chaotic life just the same with all these moving parts. So when you really think about that, and like life is complex and we're all just trying to do the best that we can, it helps like just take that weight off your shoulders a little bit and, you know, take action without all that pressure or like having that fear of that failure. Like, oh, if I do really mess up, what's the big deal? Like you can just try again the next time. So like taking that burden off, I think that's one of the things that have really helped me just take that messy action and just go after things that I necessarily wouldn't have gone after.
Yeah, you have to be able to see failure as feedback. Like an opportunity. Like if you see failure as failure, then you're going to identify as the failure, then you're likely not going to take action in the future because you're going to see yourself as the failure. And that's what a lot of us do unconsciously. We associate ourselves with the actions that we take and or the results that we get or don't get. So we go through life just playing small. You know, the reality of it is we play in life to not lose rather than to win. And that's a really big distinction that we have to get clear on, is like, we need to start playing to win instead of playing not to lose. Because when we're playing not to lose, we're coming from a place of scarcity. We're coming from a place of inadequacy, when like there's nothing. You are worthy of achieving so much more. And this idea that you're not worthy of it or you're not capable of it is just holding you back. I always say that belief drives behavior. And so if you don't believe that you can do something, or that something can be like your life can be better than it is right now, well, you're not going to take the action. You're not going to behave in ways to make it happen. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's a tough thing that a lot of people go through throughout their life. And that's what I want to help people do, is just break out of that cycle so that they can create something more, not later on in life, but right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really love how you said play to win, don't play to lose. And you know, that really brings up this like domination mentality, something that, you know, I thought like Monopoly, and that's not good, like stuff like that. But I'm really like, I listened to Grant Cardone, that 10X mentality, and it's like, competition is for sissies. Like you have to dominate, you have to be number one. If someone says something in your space, you want them to think of you first. Like that's the whole point of domination. So I'm curious, like, where's your head with the whole domination mindset?
I like to think of things like, I'm a collaborator, man. Like, it's the reason I have the podcast, is I want to host people. Like you talk Grant Cardone. I just had Gary Breck on the podcast, the 10X health guy. And we spoke about some things, but like he was in a space for such a long time that he wasn't able to actually bring his gift into the world. And that's helping people with their health. Like he was in the mortgage space or the insurance space, trying to help people predict their death, but he couldn't help them. It's like, we're trying to solve the problem, or we're trying to address the problem rather than solving the problem, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so I think it's important to not think so much about other people in that lens. Like I really don't think about, or I try my best not to think so much about what other people are doing. And I try to focus on like, what's the core of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's to help people. That's to help people get out of their own way, help themselves really. And so, I mean, I think it's important because you obviously want to build a brand. You want to create some change for yourself and stand out. But at the same time, you're going to do that by coming from a place of authenticity and really being genuine in what you're talking about, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And now that you mentioned that, like, I'm curious just for you, like, what are some of your visions or your goals just for you going forward? Like maybe like 5-10 year goals, just something that is on the radar that, you know, you want to check off or just achieve in your life.
Yeah, man. I think of that. Do you know who Eric Jorgensen is by chance? The guy that wrote the Almanac of Naval Ravikant?
I don't.
Have you read the book?
No, I will though.
You have to. Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing book. I had him on my podcast a few weeks ago, and we were talking about goals because he's going to go into the next year not setting any goals. And I talked about it and I thought about it. And the way that I like to live my life is, this is the way I see life in itself. The purpose of life is to enjoy the passage of time. That's at least my belief. That's the way I take on life. It served me well, because if I'm always focused on the next thing or the goal that I want to achieve in 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is, it's taking me away from where I'm at right now. And so I'll put this into perspective with the podcast. If I were to think of the goal that I want to achieve, I can think of what Joe Rogan's done and exit, quote unquote, and make $100 million or whatever it is. But it takes away from meeting with people every single week. It's like, if I were to have a goal for the podcast, it would be to get acquired by some massive company in 10 years from now, and I make millions and millions and millions of dollars. But that takes me away from every single week being curious and asking people questions right now. And so I really don't think too much about goals. As counterintuitive as that sounds when it comes to like helping people with their goals, is like, it's not so much focusing on the goal in itself, but it's focusing on what's the thing that's stopping you from showing up every single day to achieve that goal. And so I like focusing on the inputs, like what do I have control over? And if that leads me to a said goal in the future, well then cool. But I like to focus on the things that I have control over, not so much the things I don't have control over. So I really don't like to think in that way. I like to think in decades of like, is this the direction that I want to be going in, instead of the, is this the results that I want to be getting? Because I can only control the things that I actually do, not so much the results that I get.
Yeah, I actually love that response so much, because it reminds me of just trusting the process. And even with me thinking about my podcast, you're so right, because yeah, we have our goals like, oh, I want to get 1,000 episodes or something like that. But the biggest benefit, or the biggest thing that I enjoy the most about this podcast, is just having these conversations like we are right now, and forming those relationships with my guests that, you know, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, we're still talking and finding opportunities and just ways for us to grow together. That's the biggest thing, like relationships. And that goes with anything in life. Like, you're going to an event, don't think about the event as like, what's this big nugget that I'm going to learn that's going to change my life? What about the people there that are going to change your life? Like, that's what I'm finding is really the best thing in life. And just, you never know how one connection can lead to the next connection, or how one connection can lead to an opportunity. There's just, you don't know what can happen. And, you know, that's what I love the most, just like how we met. It wasn't the opportunity that got it, but we're still talking. And so I love that response, even though it wasn't what I was thinking you were going to say, but it led to an even better answer. So that's a great approach on life, and just, you know, anything, is like trusting that process. You know, don't look too far, but just focus on that day to day and actually enjoy what you're doing. Because if you don't enjoy what you're doing, like, what's the point? Yeah, we need money, but like, there's other ways to make money as well. So that's like a fulfilled life and an enjoyable life as well. And I know that's what you want to help people with.
Yeah, I think of it like this, like 3-5 years ago, could you predict where you're at right now?
Oh, no way.
No chance. So me even thinking about 5-10 years down the road won't matter, because sure, I probably, the plan or the idea of where I think I want to go is going to change. The only constant in life is change. I could not have predicted where I'm at right now, even 2 years ago. And so me even thinking about 5-10 years down the road only takes me away from like what's going to move me in the direction of where I'd like to go, not so much achieving said goal.
Man, I called you a wise wizard before we started there. I got to bring it up again, because you're just dropping some value here. I love this. Man, you know, something that I actually learned from my mentors is like how to set those goals and then just elevate my standards, like I talked about in the intro. And, you know, I'm curious for you, like, who are some of those big direct and even indirect role models and mentors for you? And what's something that you learned from them?
It's a good question. It's a tough question, truthfully, because I feel like
I know you got 200 episodes.
I feel like I have so many. I think the first person that comes to mind, dude, I could just look at the books and just think of, okay, I'll say Seth Godin, because I had him on in the show, and he was someone that, it's really good hearing things that he would say on the podcast. And one example of that is that he said that one mistake that a lot of people make is that they don't have patience. And I guess that's not much of a mistake, but it's, they don't really think about, like, when he was early on in his journey, he's a 21 international bestselling author, like one of the best authors of all time, I would say. And having him on the show and speaking about his journey and how he would have took less action in the beginning of his journey, because he was just trying to release so much instead of just actually be patient and let things flow as they were supposed to. I think that's something that I want to do better in my life is, like, yeah, like you said earlier, like the goals, like as much as I want to detach from where I'd like to be, of course I'd like the podcast to be further along. Of course I'd like to be working with people. And like, of course we have places we'd like to be and things we'd like to do, but I really want to be patient in where I'm at and really enjoy, as I said earlier, it's like really do my best to enjoy each day for what it is. And I think listening to Seth Godin talk about that kind of thing, it was really affirming to hear. But there's so many people, dude, like there's so many people that have had a big impact on me. What, like, whether, do you mean people that I have spoken to or like just people in general?
Just in general. Like for me, Bruce Lee, he's one of my biggest mentors. I never got to talk to him, but he still made that impact on my life. And even if this helps, like early on, like when you were like 17, you're getting more into this, like who's someone that really stuck out? And it's like, oh, I like that. I want to do more of that.
I think of Lewis Howes and Chris Williamson. Those weren't really people that I found early on, but those are two people that I think of. If I think of the lifestyle that I want to create for myself, those two people are like the really embody what I want to do. And that's just live a life of curiosity. Just like talk to people that I want to know more about and take away and ask questions that I think someone else could benefit from, not only myself, but someone else can as well. And so I think of the lens of life that I want to create for myself. I think of those two people. But there's so many people that have had a big impact on just the way that I live my life or takeaways that I've taken from their books or from their work or from having a conversation with them. It's endless. And I think that's what's so exciting about it. It's like, dude, I get to meet with a different person every single week, two times a week. And I'm meeting with different people that have done different things and have different problems and different successes. And it's just it's a constant learning, bro. So I think it's every day I'm trying to learn something new. That's what I would say.
Yeah. And it's exponential learning at this rate too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So transitioning to your podcast now, you know, some of your favorite guests, like I know you mentioned Seth Godin. Is there any like interviews that really stand out?
Yeah, I would say the one with Derek Sivers. I think a lot of people liked that episode and I'm glad because that conversation was one of my favorites, I'll say for sure. I'm looking at all of his books on my shelf over there, but there's a point in that podcast where we talked about his, I think it's going to be a new book that's coming out soon or relatively soon. It's called Useful, Not True. And I love that perspective. And I'll put that into like a really short, succinct way is a lot of us have beliefs about ourselves that are, maybe they're true and they don't serve us. So let's say, for example, if you believe you're an unconfident person, and you go through life and that's a belief that you've taken on. Maybe it's true. Maybe you've reinforced that belief by not taking action, by not being a confident person, whatever. But you take on that belief and you go through life as an unconfident person because that's true in your eyes, but it doesn't serve you. Well, then you're going to go through life settling for less than what you could have created. And so I like the ideology of taking on beliefs that are, maybe they're not true right now, but they're going to serve me. So taking on the belief that I am a confident person and I start taking the actions of a confident person would take, and then my life changes in the result. It's a profound idea. And I think our conversation was a lot of breaking through a lot of limiting beliefs that a lot of people have. So that's one comes up.
Yeah, that's so good. Like our beliefs, you know, over time turn into our identity becomes the action and our actions become who we are. And so that's it right there. You just nailed it. Man, this has been tons of value here. You're just dropping dimes left and right. So I got one last question for you before we wrap things up here. What's been the biggest life lesson or piece of advice received that has made the biggest impact on you?
I think one that's on top of mind, maybe it's not the biggest or the one that's had the most impact on me, but I was at a Lewis Howes event a few weeks ago and probably a month ago by now. And one takeaway that I got from the entire event, and it was the one thing that stuck in my mind to this day, I might even get it tattooed on my body at one point, is remember your future. And I think that hits so deeply because it makes a lot of people think and made me think, well, what does that mean for me? You know, a lot of us are thinking about our past and when we think so much about our past, it ends up recreating that in our future. That's why a lot of people, you know, create a stagnant life for themselves. And because we get so caught up on what's gotten us this far that it almost creates that same future because we're so focused on it. And when you think of remember your future, you think, well, how can I remember my future if I've never been there? I've never seen it. I don't know what that looks like, right? But that's the whole purpose of it, is you have to remember your future. Like, remember that your future is going to be better than your present, even if your present isn't what you'd like it to be right now, or your present's everything and more. Remember that your future is more than you could possibly imagine. and really get crystal clear in what that future might look like, how you want to feel, what you want to do. And that's why I said earlier, it's like, it's not so much about the goals, but how do I want to feel on Wednesday? How do I want to feel on a Thursday evening? How do I want to feel on a Saturday morning? Like, what does that look like for me? And so remembering my future is something that's really stuck with me recently for sure. And it's something that really deeply resonates.
Yeah. And then almost for me, it reminds me of like having gratitude for your future too. Like it's not, you don't have it yet, but you're feeling appreciative for it. And when you can see it, you feel grateful for it in your mind, the chances of it happening are like 10x more. So even 100x more when you can see it and feel it in your mind. So that is a great final nugget to like wrap this up. And, you know, now before we like head out, like let us know how we can support you. I'm going to drop the podcast link, your Instagram info in the show notes below. But if you have anything else going on or, you know, something that you're looking forward to, let us know, man.
Yeah, bro, I would say that's it. I would say like find me on Instagram if you want to talk about coaching with me or something like that. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'm always open. The podcast, definitely the best place to dive into the work that I'm putting into the world, whether that's on YouTube or Spotify or podcast, wherever you want to find it. But man, it was a great chat and I appreciate you for having me on again.
Yeah, man. Always great talking to you. James, thank you so much for being real, raw, and vulnerable with us today. Your courage, passion, and perseverance shine hope on the world, and the world is a brighter and better place because of you. You're making a massive impact on those who need it the most, and I'm grateful for the impact that you've made on my life. Thank you for being you and for joining us today.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
I'm having all sorts of tech issues today.
Dude, it happens. It happens. Yeah. A good thing is, dude, I had a... Do you know who Dr. Michael Gervais is?
I want to get him on the pod, yeah.
I had him on the pod last week. And this will make you feel better about today. This will make you feel a lot better about today. It took him 30 minutes to get his audio fixed before the podcast. And then when we got the podcast actually going, 5 minutes into the podcast, my county, at least in New York, had a power outage. And so 5 minutes into the podcast, we dropped. So
I saw that on your story, like the true test of patience.
Yeah, literally. That was Dr. Michael Gervais, bro. I literally booked him out 3 months in advance. Like dudes worked with the Seahawks, all that kind of stuff. And 5 minutes in and we're off. So I'm still trying to get him booked again, but maybe that'll make you feel better because it sucks. I know.
Yeah. No, I mean, this turned out all right. We're still able to do it.
Yeah, all, exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah, shoot, we couldn't even record. So shit happens.
It does make me feel a little bit better. I'll say that.
I got you, bro. I tell you, dude, it's nuts. Yeah, bro. When I had Chris Doe on the podcast, you know who that is? The future on YouTube.
Yeah. I've heard of him. Yeah.
He has like over 2 million subscribers on YouTube. Massive personal brand, like an hour of his time's worth $5,000. And when we were on the call, my dog that's laying next to me right now was getting into shit, and I had to like be like, hey, can we pause real quick because my dog's getting into shit, I have to put her in her crate. And he was like, yeah. So dude, shit like that happens all the time. It definitely never feels good, but like this is nothing, man. You're chilling.
Yeah, no, it's life. And I think when those people do it too, it's like, oh, like we're all human. We all got things going on, and you know, just
exactly.
That's just how it is. So, exactly. And I appreciate you for coming on today and helping this podcast grow. I'm excited to feature you, share your message, and absolutely. Excited to see you blow up, man. I feel like it's any moment now.
Yeah, bro. I'm really trying to detach from that as much as I can. Cause yeah, social media is a tough thing for sure. When you like, you associate your self-worth to how many followers you have or how much you're growing or all that kind of stuff. So yeah, bro, I'm just trying to really enjoy this whole journey of meeting with people every single week. And of course I want to grow, but really trying to detach from that, bro. But yeah, me and you both.
Yeah, no, but you're doing it, man. Like just, I told my my cousin that's playing college hockey right now, he's at Ohio State, and he's not really getting some time, but I'm just like, keep doing the right things and opportunity will come. And you know, that goes with a lot of things, like with us right now, for him getting a spot, like just gotta keep doing those right things and, you know, stay consistent, and you know, those windows will come up and just gotta capitalize on them. So I know you're doing that already, but just the reassurance, you know, it helps. Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life?
Well, get ready because we have the solution for you. Introducing the Nova Fusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge, the ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive Nova Fusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high-performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money-back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back, so you have absolutely nothing to lose but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. Go to novafusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.